All right, well, I'd like to welcome you to the Deer Springs Ranch board meeting, and I've asked Barry if he would give us a word of prayer, and then we'll take a roll call and proceed.
Our kind and most gracious Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity to meet here in this beautiful area, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to participate in Deer Springs Ranch. And pray that we might be guided and that we might work together and that which is best for the membership and for the ranch. These things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay, so Barry, as we look around here, those of you that, I'm going to have Barry as the secretary ask you your name if he doesn't type.
I think I've got everybody.
You got everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's that guy? Okay. Oh, the dog whisperer's here. Okay. Very good. Let's move on to our first item, then, of approving the minutes. And
I've got copies this time. If anybody, I think I've got everybody a copy. John, did you get one of the meeting minutes from last?
I appreciate the minutes, because I stand over what I roughly sent, but this is good. Any, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes from last meeting as presented.
Seeing there's no discussion, we have a motion to approve the minutes. Do I hear a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, I'm looking for the minutes. Sorry, let me get to the agenda.
Well, go right here.
Financial statistical report. Joe, do you want to go first and then
Sure. Okay. As far as the budget goes, in checking, we got $2,073 in the ranch headquarters one. In the main checking, we got $94,205. And in savings, we got $26,966. And we've collected 87.8% of the budget through the dues. And on pay for play, we've budgeted $4,500. We've gotten 2011, which is right at 48% so far. On the store, we've budgeted $2,000. We're at $860, which is 43%.
Well, budget meaning
for the
revenue from the store?
I guess that's what the budget was for, yeah. $2,000 for the revenue, yeah. I'm hoping. Or is that what we spent? I never was really told.
Do you know, Ray?
Yes, sorry. We're budgeted $2,000
in income for store sales. Yeah, income, and we've got $860, which is 43%. As far as expense on the equipment, we budgeted for the truck, the flatbed, Polaris, and miscellaneous stuff, $4,800. We're into it, $890, so we're okay there. We're still $3,000 below budget. All the cabins are in pretty good shape. We haven't spent much on them. We just purchased a refrigerator for cabin 4, but that won't be on until next month, I guess.
How much did that cost, Joe?
$1,546.
Yeah, $1,500 something.
Thank you.
Did that include the freight?
Yes, it did.
That includes the freight, yeah. And it's there was an 8-cubic foot for 120 left. I said, go ahead and get the bigger one. And I thought what we might do, I don't know how big the fridge is in cabin 3. Second, when it gets there, if the new fridge is bigger than the cabin 3, maybe we could put the new fridge in 3, because there's more people in that one, and we can put the fridge in 3 in cabin 4. But whichever one's bigger.
All the fridges are exactly the same size.
Yeah, but what about this new one, compared to the old
one? The new one, I don't know, but I'm going to make a suggestion to you. Because it's both AC and propane.
Right.
I think we ought to take this fridge out of here, which is working just fine. Put put that AC and propane fridge in here, because if we have to in a pinch, we can run it off the branch solar, and then do a quick service on this thing, tear the burner apart, clean it up, take it out, and replace
four.
Replace four. Yeah. And pull fours out, clean it up.
I thought of that also, but I wasn't sure how big this one was versus the new one.
I don't know dimension-wise, but this one here that has no real limitations on the dimensions, because there's, you know, it's not sitting in a little alcove or anything.
Yeah.
That it just stick up here.
You get that, Phil?
Yeah.
I worked out good that way. If we just buy new fridges, that isn't going to solve that problem.
No, we still need to probably spend money to do the ventilation. And the thing that he sent me was about $125 per fridge to do that ventilation. But we went down to Home Depot. We went and searched all through St. George to try to come up with some kind of a system. And there's none out there that's for sale. So we'll have to have a professional home building.
And I understand what you're saying, but I'm a bit confused. But these things have been working for 35 years, and all of a sudden now they can't? Seems like there ought to be something we can do without going to a great expense.
I agree with Joe. I think these fridges have worked for all this time, and a lot of it is user error with people
even backing stuff around them, preventing the airflow.
And no matter what you tell them, then we have people down here, and we told them, oh, the fridge isn't working, and you can't put warm stuff in the fridge and expect it to work. Well, this fridge isn't working. 2.5 gallons of warm water put in this fridge, and wondered why the fridge isn't working. Now, maybe in 2 weeks that 2.5 gallons of water will be cold. So the complaints on the fridge, they've always been there, but typically it's been, you know, the maintenance that we've had. I think it might be a good idea that we take one of the ones that we have the most problem with and maybe invest $125 or have somebody build a vent, and let's try venting it out and see if that fridge, this solution is forever fit. I think in the garden cabin, the fridge is right next to the door. It's hot in there. They open both doors, and so the breeze blows through. And I think just the air passing past the pilot light in there makes it flicker and builds up soot. And I think the flickering creates the soot in the flue because of the air passing through. So we should try to block the air at the pilot light down there. So air that's passing through cabins, I don't know if they're all like that, but I think the problems that we had in the garden cabin is because the air that flows by there, it flickers and then puts a lot of soot up into the flues, and so then it starts to, you know, not function. So it's a combination of a perfect storm of being propane fridges, being people who've never used it, and some issues with ventilation and some issues with airflow through the cabin.
I have a question, and maybe you guys have an answer for it on that. I've noticed on these things that they have, looks like a little ball of fire about that big, around about that tall, but it's very orange in color. Orange means it's running very rich. Creates soot.
Should be blue-white.
Well, they're not. The ones I've seen are not blue. The ones in my fifth row, of course, my first grade quit, and I've got to get new ones, always the blue. And I build forges, and I use this gas, and it's a blue flame. But any time I get a rich flame, it causes problems. And these refrigerators are more temperamental than that. I am assuming they work off of the Venturi system, coming in the fire of the air coming into that flame to make it blue. I don't know if that Venturi system may be full of dirt. I don't know if crud or what have you. And that caused it to run orange. And orange flames are not very powerful, and they go out easy. And they don't create a whole lot of heat, and these things work off the heat. And so, just the thought.
Yeah, when you flame them, they're pretty sooty, black sooty. And have you looked at the color of the flame at all?
That is not.
There's usually not enough air getting in there for some reason. We're getting too much.
So far. I assume the problem there is even without the refrigerator running, you open the door and there's what day, time of day, with the glass and the So when we go in to have a gas flame, we go through and we get every window that has a screen open.
I'm with Brad. I mean, 35 years they've been working, and all of a sudden now there's an orange flame. Something's wrong. We're either getting too much propane or not enough airflow. And I've been in a couple of cabins when people have been in them, and boy, they got stuff, bags of food, bags of this, all over the floor in different areas. I wonder if they're stopping the airflow for getting to these fridges. We buy brand new fridges and have the same problem. Then, yeah, you're right. We're going to have to put a vent system to the outside. But
perhaps we ought to put a vent down to the bottom and block the sides on them so the airflow doesn't come in and blow it out. But we got things coming in. That can't cost much. That would be drilling a hole about so big around and putting a little pipe in there with a clapper to the outside. I don't know if clapper would work.
You've got to be careful. If the wind blows, it'll blow the pilot out.
Well, by the feet. But if the elbow had come up and come over the mangle and come down, it wouldn't be a hard air hit, but air could get in.
How do y'all feel about trying a vent system
on one of the vent systems at Brent Pickett? And the next stage is the one that I've got, and they're exactly alike.
Yeah. But if we got an orange flame, we got a problem.
Yeah, there's no question.
We've got to be blue and white.
We're just new.
Well, they are orange.
Giving you the information.
So if we have Gar King come out and look at our flame and PSL, if they can give us an advice, what's the professional tell us?
Well, see, this thing does show a 90-gram coming in and into it.
Okay, so we've got all kinds of ideas here.
Yeah,
and I guess we could look at the new fridge and see what kind of flame it's having right now, too.
Well, it's not in yet.
Oh, it's
not in, yeah.
Yeah, we can check that. But, so Joe, kind of your area, is it your area?
Yeah, our cabins are, yeah.
So,
not necessarily fixing the fridge, but it's fixing the problem.
Yeah, Brad's suggesting that we try one fridge with this new vent system. Does that sound appealing to you? I'm just trying to stop over here now, right now,
yeah.
To do that?
Well, I think we should at least try that.
There's only one thing I'd like to add all that.
Well, the garden cabins, 9 and 10, we could easily put a vent system on. You know, I think we're overthinking.
We can go to a muffler shop and have them cut and send us a piece of exhaust pipe to slide in, and then we can take a dryer vent,
yeah,
and run it in down for the air intake. I've been working on this for now 15 years, and the thing that you know about what happens here is during this period of time, from roughly the end of June to the middle of August, the ambient temperature is so hot, and the heat builds up inside each one of the cabins, that heat banks down, that decreases the efficiency of the propane system, because there's just nowhere for that exhaust to go. So it reverses the flow, and what is, you know, the flame is constant, not variable.
No, it's constant.
And so what happens is, it's reversing the flow. It's not as efficient. It's not going to it's going to change colors on you, because there's no air coming in, and we need a place for that air to go out.
Yep.
And when you say, well, they've been fine for 35 years, you haven't been studying that July to mid-August period all the time. And when you know, the board doesn't know about all the times that the fridges are working, but you'll have a member come in who will bring in 3 cases of soda pop, stick it in the fridge, and expect it to be cold in a couple of hours, like you might if you put it in a lesser fridge. But it takes 24 hours to bring anything down to temperature. So you got to bring it cold, you got to bring it cold. And, I think we ought to experiment without getting, crazy about it.
Yeah.
On cabin 6, that's it.
I have one more thought, if you don't mind. A pipe vent above it, why couldn't a sample pipe vent, like it goes on the hot water heater? It's got a little flare on the bottom, got a pipe about that big around, and as the exhaust comes out of there and goes up through it. It wouldn't have to be a big box or something. Couldn't we do something like that?
I'm saying we jerry-rig something, put it together, and we probably do it for very little money. And we're not going to be out anything if we have to add a professional setup afterwards. Because, we don't have to change the holes. We just got to put in a couple of holes and let's see if it helps.
Brent, every time I've come to my cabin, I've had my Casull in my place now for 11, 12 years. I take a block of ice and put it in the freezer when I get there, and it brings the temperature down much quicker of everything that's inside in the freezer. I put it in the freezer compartment, and it makes it cool down much, much quicker than trying to just dump all the hot stuff in the refrigerator. Every time I come to the cabin, I do that. Works every time.
And
then I take it out, put in the ice chest, but I don't need it.
And if every member was like you, we wouldn't have problems.
Yep. I'm just saying, they need to be told, if you want the temperature to come down,
they'll tell them, and they walk up there and put one step in the fridge. And then we'll work on that for the same time.
We always just keep reminding people, to bring your things frozen, or bring it cold. So.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if we can't move on. Let's make a resolution. Let's make a resolution for action then. What exactly and who is doing this? What are we doing? Are we doing something? Are we not? And who might do it?
Yeah, I'll get with Phil on the garden tab and take a look at it and see what it takes, and maybe we can go over and look at 6 and see what it looks like and make the decision.
Okay.
While we're on that similar subject, one time it was suggested that we vent cabin 7 and 8 upstairs. And the suggestion was a solar powered vent, and to suck the hot air out of the upstairs of the cabin.
A little fan?
Some kind of a fan, but I don't know. Possibly just a roof fan with a vent that when it gets heat gets hot in there, it sucks itself out. Of the cabins or something.
Is that a little hot air, you mean?
Yeah, like on typically in like a shed. Like if I was to build a shed out here, I would put one of those vents in it so it could suck some of that air out of. Have we talked about that or thought about that? I've
never thought about it. That's never been mentioned before. So that's the first I've heard of requesting that. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but it's the first I've heard of it.
Maybe we could put that on a wish list of stuff to do if possibly. Especially anyone that have upstairs in them, if we could vent those cabins, it would probably help a great deal. Plus, it might help the fridges burn more efficiently because the air isn't being compacted, hot air compacted, pushing back down into the fridge.
Do you think those water things, you've seen them on top of the ceiling?
They absolutely help. Yeah, they absolutely help.
You just put it up there and have it. Fills up the first thing, so
yeah.
You handle it, the wind blows it a little bit. So.
Well, yeah, and that way you wouldn't have to do a solar thing and it'd have to be maintained. They just last for years and years and years.
Okay. Really,
okay.
Moving on.
I don't know what to call them, but I know what they are.
Okay, moving on. As far as paper play, we've, with the garden cabin, there's no income on that one for some unknown reason. I don't know why, but as far as the garden cabin, the budget was $17,000. We spent $67,000, so we're 44% of that.
I'm sorry.
That's for all the cabins? Okay.
Can you say the budget for repairs?
For all the cabins, yeah. $17,000, and we've got $7,000 into them, so we're only at 44% for all the cabins.
That sounds good. Is that kind of septic system stuff?
No.
That should be in
there. It is.
It is in there now?
I'll double check it. I'm pretty sure it is. Also, I don't...
It should be counted in there. Otherwise, when we get to, we go, oh, we don't use this much, let's take the money over here or something.
Yeah,
the
garden cabin has about
4,400. Okay. Good.
And the ranch house was budgeted for 6,600, and we're at 4,200 already, so we're at 64% of the budget on that one. Different subject, but the brush hog, did you ever put that nail in that brush hog so we can put it back together and use it?
Yeah, I got it.
You haven't put it on yet, though? Is it working yet, then, or still not?
Okay, so who, what, and how are we going to fix that? Do we take it into town? Do we have somebody come out?
It don't fill on that. I'll bet you that tank is full of junk because it's typically been filled with fuel cans out on the job. You know, when they got it out there, they tear them up there, and the worst problems I've ever had, that's a fuel problem, especially when I used to dune and stuff like that, is those fuel cans, they just get dirty and get a lot of stuff dumped in there. That thing could have floated in there.
Have you changed the fuel filters on it? Didn't help, huh?
So what do we do from there?
I'll get with him after. I'll look into it.
Okay.
Somehow.
Don Ray, I don't know where he's at.
He's in Alaska.
The reason I pushed for something excited was I just saw a lot of discussion about things, and the next thing they're still not running. It's still not running. Every month we go on and on. That's what I'd like to have.
That's the thing. I'm off. So I
clean it.
So go.
I'm going to get this bill after the meeting, and we'll look at it.
Okay.
And the garden cabinet.
All right.
Everything else in the bubble is pretty much in a normal flow. Fencing, we budgeted 4,000, we've only spent 800. That's all we needed so far in fencing. Right?
Oh, no. We just plug those numbers in as far as our budget is concerned, and then we spend it in the areas that we need it the very most until it's gone. But we'll stay under our budget, or we'll come to the board and we'll tell you the reason why we need to have more budget. We won't go over our budget until it just depends on circumstances.
Well, remember all the trouble, whatever, about we hadn't done that since our end of the fencing projects and the cattle lease and all that.
Yeah.
Is there standing out to the wind here somewhere?
No, we're totally on top of it.
So we're totally on top of that.
Okay.
I think possibly we have a lot of material already bought from one reason why that cost is down, isn't it, right?
Yeah. But what's our total budget when we increase it?
Yeah, the total budget is $13,000.
We're not going to go over $13,000. Water systems, erosion control, or anything else, or buying herbicides. Now we're talking about mulching. Let me just go ahead and finish.
Well, I was just going to go through through the budget here.
So if it says 1,500 for fences and we need 3,000, then we'll probably spend the 3,000 on fences, and then we'll spend less on herbicides or erosion control or another area. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Joe, finish up your budget.
The petting zoo is still a question here. We got a budget of $750, and we're already at $1,017, so we're 35% over the budget in petting zoo. Have we sold any animals of any kind to keep some of that money? We were going to sell rabbits and whatever else. Really?
How much did we raise on donations for that?
Going by memory, I think like $375 was donated.
So we spent $1,000, we had budgeted it.
$750,
and we came up with 375 donations.
365, 375, somewhere in there. I don't know
what. So it's kind of close to being even then, right? For now.
On that portion, yeah. But we're only halfway through the year.
Okay.
The 356.
That's the total. So 99 that was the other station that makes everything good, probably do the solar panel that was reimbursed, and then also just in general reimbursement. So actually, as far as what's coming in, $99 being an odd number because some of it was eight sales. If you'd like to break down, I can tell you how much was donated, but suffice it maybe to say that it was $20 per person for that
finish
year. That's all we
can see. So our problem is right now to reconcile what our budget is and what we've spent and what we're going to spend. So,
well, it's already been decided. I think we decided last meeting that whatever thing is going to come out of my agricultural budget. So,
okay.
I'll work with Phil and make sure that we have money.
We agreed just to
put the winter of the year.
Okay.
January, and we haven't made
that. I remember that now. I'm sorry.
I know we did take one of the old saddles that were in there, and he sent it to a saddle shop, and we sold it to him. How much did you make on that? And he spent $300 on hay, so he got a bunch of hay to feed the animals on from one of the old saddles that were in the shed itself. It was the best one, but nevertheless. Anyway, I'll keep working with him on that.
All right, great. Thanks.
As far as, as far as the miscellaneous payroll, salaries for everybody,
We're budgeted for $59,570. We're into it 24. We're at 41%, so we're okay there. With John's, our budget is for $20,000, and I don't really show any money going out, so I don't know what's happening.
There's some coming out, but no, I haven't done a whole lot.
Talking about the road?
Yeah, road.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to John.
I'll go on that.
We can go on that when we get there, yeah. Factors are all within range. Much miscellaneous stuff, everything else are pretty much within the budget ranges of everything else. So
are there any glaring areas that you are very concerned about?
Well, other than we got to find somebody to do some roads, because we haven't spent any money on roads. Pettingrew, we're going to let fly until the year is over. Other than that, no.
Okay, great.
I can't see in here where the bonuses for being on the board are.
They're in the free section at the grocery store.
Okay, Mariah.
I don't have anything
else
to do. I'd like to report that we have new members finally now. Ed and Candace have a lot of time in the footage. So I can report them as new members.
Ed and Candace.
So that makes 8 new members so far this year. And then the only other thing I have for office business, I've mentioned this to you privately, but on your table is a tentative agenda for the annual meeting. So I just brought that out to the meeting to take a look at it. I don't feel like this is something I need to know today, but just so, because I was coming, I printed it. If you could look it over, make sure it's what you'd like to see the annual meeting happen, and we can.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. Oh, I've lost my agenda. This is the agenda? No.
Yeah, that's the agenda.
Okay.
Oh, that's for the annual meeting.
Yeah, that's for the annual meeting. This is a little way out there.
It might have been.
There it is. Got it.
I got it. Okay. Putting gross stuff over. Don't tell them.
Okay, we're down to number 5, the next caretaker's report, Bill and Rachel.
Well, we just have a list. Cabin pair, laundry, ranch bathroom, has been painted, sparkled, and we Last time, I took the trailer up to the back row and I took it back to the bus.
room, and I compressed it. And that gave us another 5 days to fill more up. So, you know, I think we'll start doing that just to compress it to save our money.
There is kind of an odor issue, so it's a good idea when all the cabins are full on the busy weeks just to plan on rotating. Yeah, once a week, just all that stuff.
Okay. You guys have some during the busy time, there is not enough fitted AC to do a flip like that. We have to check out of 11, check in if they're around. Lately, it's been around 2 or 3 that they're actually sitting there. We want to get in there. We only have a short window to go ahead and take all our shiny fitted sheets and launder them, hold them, put them in the bag, etc. If we have enough fitted
AC, just hold a flip.
That would save a lot of
money.
That's ridiculous.
How many do you need?
That's ridiculous.
You just need 20
fitted. How many spring fitted?
20?
No.
Is it working out okay?
But we have
tons of
this, but
the
need to flash.
I don't
know who did that. Can't they just buy them?
Just
yeah. Why not? Just buy them. I would work on stuff like that where it's taking more time and more effort. I mean, cheap aren't that expensive. And I just get taken care of. I don't know.
But if all you need are fitted, my suggestion is go online and see if you can find just fitted bottles. Because you go anywhere, you cannot find anything you're using but a set. So my suggestion is go online and see what you can find there.
Five or ten more than you need.
I looked and I bought those three out. So
that's crazy that you guys are waiting on the laundry.
Or call me and I represent about 50 different hotels. And you can buy anything separate, whatever you need for laundry or for.
Oh, okay.
Just remind me that I'll look into it for you.
So, actually, Terry, will you order it or will they order it?
Either way, I just find out what they are and then confirm an amount with them, and I can take care of that and get them ordered.
So he will order them. Yeah. Okay, so let's then move on until we solve that problem. Okay, Scott?
Do we have any in the gravel pit?
Yeah.
John, backhoe the loaded in and...
John, here. Yes. Can we just put something in the dump truck and kind of crack it and roll down there and bump that thread coming out?
My gravel is full of load.
So do you feel comfortable loading the gravel into the dump truck?
Just do it.
Brent, could you help them with this? Do you feel comfortable dumping gravel out? Thank you.
Okay, move on.
Keep checking. There's going to be somebody down here in town that will have hay for sale. See what the prices are there. And if it's worth it, just buy it here. And if it doesn't, then go to St. George. Yeah, if you're already going and you can make a deal, that's great. Okay.
Still working on the
filter. How long until your bathroom will be finished when you have your toilet and everything going?
We're going to work on the trim next. We're going to have it all painted up and done. We're just going to take a box on and finish all that off.
And we'll do awesome. This week, we'll have a bathroom back.
Oh, today.
I think
that
okay.
I dumped out 4 tenths of an inch today from yesterday's storm. That's lower than that quarter.
Now, they look good coming down. That's the way Sunshine said it was coming down last night, but Metal Canyon looked good.
And the last thing is there's one saddle out there with a broken tree, and I cleaned it up pretty good. It was really good. We're going to build a small pedestal that we can set out here that puts a spearhead or everything out here. A little kid can sit on that saddle with a little spearhead. I think that'd be real fun for him, and so we're going to go ahead and
I got a question on the upper pond number one, the fishing dock. I need you to go up there and look at it. Last time I was up there, the board was so wobbly, I was afraid to walk on it. I need to go up there and either put some nails in it or some boards on top of it. Or
right now, it's a hazard.
It's a hazard. Yeah. You're going to fall in and hurt themselves.
Yeah, it looks
really, really rickety.
Yeah,
it
looks
percent.
And they have to have enough room down here to put over the coat right on top of it, crosswise maybe. So, okay. Take a look at it, see how wobbly it is, and nothing else. Put a tape across here so nobody walks out. At least they'll be cautious anyway.
Okay, I have a question for the board to consider, and whether or not caretakers, this is something they should do or not, and that is, if I were going to try to burn down all the upper cabins, you know what I'd do? I'd go out and I'd get tinder and wood and I'd stack it all around them, and then it'd be ready to light on fire. And that's exactly the way it looks when you're right up there right now. Can we not take the backhoe, load all of that cut crap up into the truck, and be able to place where in the winter we can do a slash burn pile, take all of that stuff out of it? Because right now I think it's more dangerous than it ever was when it was green all around the cabins. Yeah, so right now I think we've increased the fire danger around the upper cabins.
The people were supposed to come up and check that for us. Did they ever come back and say when they're going to do it?
I talked to the King County Fire Warden. They're the ones that cut it last year. It all limbing and trimming. They weren't complete. Whether, you know, they were supposed to bring a whole crew in. Only two guys came in and did it. And they were driven out by the weather towards the end of the season. They told me that they would be back in the spring to chip it. So I, once again, talked to Spencer Rollo, who's the fire warden. And he says, we will be out by mid-May to get that. So, well, as you're well aware, there have been fires going on everywhere. When fires are going on, none of these crews are available to do any of this stuff. So we either have one of two choices. We do what you're talking about. We go up there and crack it back, pick it up, throw it in. And the only thing I would do if I was going to do it is take a snake box and kit with you. And I'm sure there's no files in the way.
Is our chipper big enough, or does it work, or should we just say it's too dangerous for us who don't know how to use them?
Well, we can do it. It's just not going to be as clean as, you know, what we were hoping for is they could chip everything up around and underneath, all around the where they lived in print. Junipers have a chemical in them, for lack of a better term, that if you ever look around the base of the juniper tree, there's nothing else growing. And that's because it drops a chemical around there, and it acts like a natural herbicide. And so we were hoping to chip all this juniper off, go back out there so we can have all this undergrowth. And if the undergrowth, it's the ladder fuels that get up into the tree that causes problems. But we can go and pick it up. I can email Spencer again and ask him what's going on, but given the way the fire season's going, I just don't know if we're going to see anybody. So, either we pick it up.
The writing's on the wall. We're not going to get any help until fire season's over.
But,
and
you know,
right now, we don't want a fire up here. But I would make a motion that we clean up all of that garbage and that we use our truck that we paid beer money for and our backhoe and
John's putting it on the list for jobs.
Okay.
Well, we pulled all that. You know, I hand loaded myself most of the big firewood worthy stuff onto my truck and hauled down and tossed it off over here.
Thank you.
There's still more up there, and then Don Ray came and helped me. He brought the backhoe up, and we loaded bigger stuff, and that's over in the dump truck right now. And we can haul that stuff down here.
Do we put it in a pile or a special place? In a pile, maybe they will come back and ship that pile, or what?
Well, I'd like to see them come back and ship, yes, and that would be my suggestion. Put it all into a pile, put it all in one place, and then at the end of the season, if they've not come back and shipped it, we burn it. And it's all in one spot.
Where is that best place for that?
Isn't there a place where we need erosion control where you can put that stuff in a hole out here to keep
it? Yeah, you can dump it in some of these.
Well, if I was going to the truth of the matter is, guys, if I was going to do it, we don't want to mess up the headquarters. The best place for it is down there. In the, remember when we had that huge flat file?
Yeah, over by the
years ago. Over by the gravel pit. And Paul and I burned it on a November day, and it was perfect. So I would stick it back there in the gravel pit, and then we'll just take the backhoe and get down the mineral soil all the way around it.
That's good.
Maybe off if nobody ever shows up.
Okay. Well, thank you, Phil, Richard. Thank you. Next on our agenda, keep moving. Well, just your thought, like, Glenn, what time is it?
Noon.
We want to keep going for a while? Can we get through this?
I'm
going to
get through the rest of the stuff before anybody keels over of hunger. I'd rather do that.
I'd rather too.
I vote. And let it show, and if he kills, we'll just keep going.
Okay, then Dave, you're up on the legal water.
Okay, Joe, you want to talk to them about the tank?
Okay, the tank was collecting some more algae or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it was exactly, but Grant said it was floating on top, so we had to overfill it, chlorinate it. And we were told last year by the people that claimed it that the heat from the water from the tank is what's causing our problem, so they suggested it get painted white. So, I bought some special paint, some epoxy paint, two-part mix, and I brought Phil and Larry Clarkson dug the tank out. I personally touched
it. Beautiful,
it.
Yeah.
I
know,
also washed it, and then my kids painted it. So now the tank is white, it's got an epoxy paint on it, and then it's got a special acrylic water-based paint on top of that for UV protection. So we should be in good shape for another 10 or 15 years as far as so the water won't get hot, and most hopefully we won't grow any more green stuff.
Good job. Thank you.
Fantastic, and we appreciate you guys. We appreciate your family taking care of that. Second thing we had,
by the way, the paint, when I called on it, was $137 a gallon through Sherwin-Williams, and I brought it to a contractor that we know, and I got it for $71 a gallon.
Nice.
So, very good. Obviously, the cheaper paint we could have purchased, but this stuff is an epoxy, and it's hardened like a fiberglass.
And
so
it binds pretty good to the old car
stuff. Yeah, that product you can't believe.
Good.
I was going to start backfilling, but I left it open, so those of you who want
to
look at it.
Yeah, I want to go see it after the meeting.
I
went by and looked at
it. If you'll lay down and look underneath on the side, then we'll backfill it, and you can stay there for a while.
We'll listen for SOS.
There you go.
Ting, 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 ting. All right. Second thing, we had a fail on our upper water system. And I'll talk to Rachel about what we can do there. When you guys, didn't you guys repair some pipes up there on the upper system?
Well, what we had, since we did the repairs, we had a good test, the last test, came in good. Alright.
Any idea what we need to do?
My suggestion is, we haven't, super chlorinated the system starting out. It probably would be a good idea to go back and chlorinate again. So it doesn't do this much good to chlorinate down below and go up to the pipe. If we go to the 10,000-gallon tank, that would probably be a good idea. In fact, we ought to do it now. And that way, next month, when we take a sample there, we can see where the problem might be. But we have done essentially no repairs up there since that.
Okay.
We had a good sample last month.
Okay.
So, but I think we all have to coordinate it.
So will you kind of help make sure it happens?
I'll make sure it happens. If they can't do it, I'll do it myself.
Okay.
Sounds great, but I'm the list.
See, just for cost purposes, I talked to the water tech at Mandalay Bay about that system or any other system up here, and he said to chlorinate it to the point where you kill everything. He says, but then the chlorine smell is pretty strong, and it could also damage your septic tanks.
He said there's another chemical after it sits for a few hours that people put in there that will neutralize that chlorine and get rid of the smell and the damage to the septic tank. So we can...
That chemical, the second chemical, real cheap, you can get it at any tool store. You know, it neutralizes chlorine, so we gotta kill whatever's in there first.
The only danger is, he says, whatever you do, don't let those two chemicals mix in the raw, because they can explode. They gotta be separated. Once they're in the water, no problem. Just don't let them spill on top of each other. That's the problem.
Okay, so where do we get this stuff? Can we get it at Stolson?
I don't know.
You can get
I buy it at Stolson.
Give me a name of it and we'll pick some up.
Just chlorine neutralizer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he gave me
there's a bunch of different brands of the same stuff.
Okay.
You can get it probably at Home Depot. You can get it at any of the full supplies. But let me look around when I get down either way. We need to get it done soon so we can get that chlorinated before our next stuff.
Shoot me an email with that stuff and then we'll...
He gave me his information on the phone when I was leaving, so I didn't get a chance to write it down. But when I get back home, I can also... He might have a different chemical than yours, but whatever you got is good, I'm sure.
Okay. I'll pick it up next time.
We've taken the other, that older tank, and we've already had problems with that, been taken out of the system.
Okay.
Do we do a new pair of tests in the dam?
We're going to chlorinate first. This is the lower system certified, so if there's a bad test, they send it to the state. We have what we had last time with the notices and everything else. The upper system doesn't qualify for that, so they just tell us, You have potential problems with your water. They don't report it to anybody. It's up to us to say.
You send the upper system in as an investigative sample only. It's not, if you send it as a routine sample, this failure would
go. Then we'd have time to put out
the animal.
Over here somewhere.
Okay, thank you. My last thing is on the legal side. Mariah can probably help a little bit, or while you're busy. I got 5 or 6 responses on the bylaws and the bylaws and protective covenants changes. Some of them were just questions. I answered the questions. Most of them were, the ones that I got were before we sent out the red line, and they just said, you can't really expect us to read this stuff. And I said, well, actually, I do, because I don't want to tell you what's important. Finally, I broke down and I did it. So we sent that out. I don't know if you've heard anything since then. Okay. I got a list from Jeff Nicholson, which is mostly grammatical errors and make sure that we have 305 memberships instead of 304, which I'll go through before the final version is signed anyway. I didn't see anything substantive in what he has. One member basically said, I don't recognize that I'm bound by any of these documents no matter what. And I responded and said, yes, you are. And he said, no, I'm not. And we kind of stopped at that point. So, Tammy Levitt had several questions, and I answered the questions. And I have copies of these three. I'm not going to go through them all, but I have them here if anybody wants to read the questions and my answers. One was, for example, do we really want to have no limit whatsoever on special assessments? And I said, well, the whole purpose of a special assessment is if something breaks that's not in the budget, we have to re-roof our cabin and we can't put it in, or something significant, and so it makes no sense to have a limit. We're all going to vote, and the protection we each have is, if we approve a special assessment, everybody has to pay their share, so nobody wants to pay any more money than they have to. So I've never seen one where there's a limit on special assessments, and I reminded her, to my knowledge, I don't know that we've ever had a special assessment at this point. Maybe some of you guys remember one, though, one time. Not something that comes up very often. So I think I answered her questions. I included a couple of changes that we talked about last board meeting, but I've got extra copies of the covenants and the bylaws here. I just don't know if anybody else has any more input before we finalize and send them out with a ballot that says, please vote for or against, and we need at least 75% of membership to vote.
Barry, I have one question about the special assessment.
Yeah.
It's limited to things that are currently going on the ranch. It's not something that's a hypothetical project that we're going
to set up an amphitheater.
You know, something, it's strictly limited to say we were going to work on the ponds or our cabin.
Yeah.
Or roads, something, but not a new project. So are we limited by the bylaws on special assessment
well,
on a new project?
I mean, there is no limit. If we decided that we wanted to build a pavilion,
okay,
theoretically that could be approved as a special assessment. It would have to be sent to the membership. There are two categories of special assessments. One that the board can approve, one that is it has to be approved by the membership. So there is some limitation there on new type of projects.
Okay.
But typically special assessments are just if there's a catastrophic, you know, loss or something, we have to put it there.
Our tank up there, the 10,000-gallon tank exploded, we've got to replace it.
Yes. Then we'd say, okay, well, we have to do this. We don't have it in our budget. We
right.
have to do an assessment. And then each of us pay a 1/305th of whatever that cost is. So it can't really be, well, we just want extra money or we're feeling uncomfortable, we don't have enough in the account. No. It has to be dedicated to a specific project with a budget in place, but it could be for future projects as well as repairs. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. Okay. I answered that question to her for the same. Right now, the state of Utah prohibits private cemeteries unless it's like just a family plot. They're restricted right now by law to a municipality, and that's, I guess, over concerns of who's going to maintain it for 50 and 100 years in the future. So the law does not allow right now. We could, and my mom would love to get permission to have a cemetery like in Canadri Grange, but we haven't gone through the process of changing the law yet. So right now, we couldn't have one here even if we wanted to.
Officially.
Yeah, if you happen to be left on the side of the road in a cardboard box, then we'll drive around it. Any other questions or comments? I know we've been through this 100 times.
Is there any wiggle room on our bus with jail? Is there any path at all there that we can come to them in terms of
on
the habits that you approach them
again? I will ask him again. The last time I had that discussion, it was very unpleasant. And I really don't want to have the discussion again. Whether he would be in support of taking out and eliminating the easements around the borders of the, at least for new roads and those kind of things.
We're understanding that we totally will have access to every lot. Easement access to every lot.
I haven't had much luck there yet, but and again, I would like to get these things done and through, but between now and when we vote, I'll talk to them again about it. Yeah, go. You can fence your lot line, but if somebody later has or needs access, then you're going to have to give them a cut of gate in or make access. On my house, I have a similar drainage easement along the side. I fenced it all in, but I recognize that if they ever have to come and fix that or if they have to replace it, then they're going to tear up my concrete in the fence.
I don't have a four-wheeler driver. Go to them, take the fence out.
Well, my easement is what I think he's probably should have done in the beginning, and it is only a utility easement. It is not a driveway easement, so I never have to worry about four-wheelers or cars driving on it.
There is legal options. There is legal options. Crazy.
I think over time it's going to be more and more favorable, and you're not going to have a problem down the road in making it happen once all the lots have been sold once. So, anyway, any other questions for me on that? That's all I've got.
Okay,
I'll read through these last comments.
And these are copies of the latest version.
Yes, I've got the latest version of the protective covenants and bylaws here. If you want an extra one,
yeah,
I'll get some internet.
No. The last red line was before the last meeting. And so what I've got here is just the last. Okay.
Okay. Anything, Larry, that you want to add or tell us about fire protection?
Well, I wasn't at the last meeting, so I really don't have anything prepared. As far as the signs, the two times my shop is currently unavailable, I wanted to build the signs. I've actually got the material, but I don't have access to the... the reason being is my shop also serves as a warehouse for the company that I work for, and I can't get to the stuff without moving everything into the driveway to even get to my saws and everything. I'm hoping before the next board meeting I will have had the signs built. In terms of the box that we proposed to put up at the upper cabins, same situation. I've got to have access to my tools to be able to do it. I anticipate each one of the signs being about $100, $150 a piece. The box maybe, well, just to build the box will only be about $100. But the radio, the solar panel, the little charge controller that would be on the inside, that'd probably be another $150. So all the projects together, maybe $550 or $600. I'm trying to get to it. I just can't get to my equipment right now, with my current situation where my shop is. Other than that, I was going to try to get with Brent, and of course Brent's got a much better handle on what's going on with the fire protection on the ranch than I have. I don't know who the players are in the county, who we need to be talking to. I don't know anything right now. So maybe we can have a conversation at some point, Brent. And,
let me see your email with Evan Kilpax information and a couple of other things.
Yeah, I will. Can I comment on something on that? Since I'm less concerned now that there are four signs on the way up here that say no fires, no fires, no. Nobody's going to get the deer springs coming from Knab and not already.
Yeah, I saw the new sign. That was not the one that's right there by the old Student Power Ranch.
Yeah, so that's helpful that there. I think I saw three signs on the way up here that at the turnoff in Johnson, and then once on up at Mike Noel's place, and then another one that's just at the edge of the BLM. So. I think that's
well, maybe they're just so maybe we don't do the signs then. Is that what you're proposing?
I still think we do the signs, but there's not a huge rush. There's not as big a rush as what I anticipated. If those weren't there, then I'd be more concerned.
Yeah. Well, we again, we're gonna put it at the entrance and up on the airstrip, and possibly a third sign up by the north gate. That would be the third sign. But the box, it's not gonna be that big a deal to build it. I can't get in my shop right now. I just can't.
Well, I think whenever you have time, that would be fine. I'm glad we were able to put those signs up. So.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't have anything. I'll just get with Brent and see if there's anything I can do to help process or to help them do this cleanup stuff and the wood chipping and everything. It wouldn't hurt for a second person to call them. You know, I've been annoying before. I can be annoying again. I don't know if that's going to do any good or not. You know better than me, Brent. It may run them off if we're too annoying. But I'll talk with Brent and see what I can do to help.
Okay,
that's all I got.
I don't anticipate any sun coming this year. Already on the project. There is still a chance because they haven't told us now yet. That being said, we have a tremendous amount of agricultural work.
Yeah, that guy funded the
limited amount of water that we've got. Our grasses have been able to get it. We do have the traditional cows and now it's worth it. Character at work this year when we have to go to that level. And there, as we see, 30 to 50 million gallons should not be on us. Run them off multiple times, certainly down that kind of thing. Typical stuff that happens every year and has been happening within our budget. We have sites on containing improving agricultural forage and water machinery. We go from the trials under here and schedule and take a look at that. Systematically, we want to go through.
rebuilt and replaced all of our old routes and updated them. That's even important to us.
Still question on the corral. Bill bought another gate for over here. Time, and he said it was for who's paying for that, the ranch or your budget or
the actual or your work? And then they just take it off and take it with us. I mean, Curry built a ranch fences that members will be using, everybody will be using. The board before, whoever was over Paul and allowed him to buy the crap gates that are there. The pole jumped over the gate. I installed that red gate that we purchased.
Yeah.
You can go look at it. It's still a gate. The gate that was there, if we would have, we would be buying a brand new gate today, because it would hold a cow. It can't take any pressure. You can't build a corral if you don't hold cattle. So why build a corral?
Well, I just want to know what the rules are. You know, I'm just saying, that first pole case wasn't fine. It's not been fine. I just didn't know, you know, who's paying for it.
I own it. I'll pay for it. The ranch owns the ranch.
What was the cost on the gate? $180. And what did we do with the old one?
We have nothing
yet. Is it anything that could be used in the field in somewhere else?
Oh, yeah. This place is where they're going to be. These little gates right here, that come through there. Yeah. The cow can't.
No, if they scratch their head, they get an estimate.
They're
going
to sandwich that. So you have to have them.
Thanks. I just, being a hunter, I want to be responsible for the money. I want to know why and how come with that. Because it's supposed to be that way until the end.
There was a gate on the barn when I had been here before, where we were at caretakers. There was a gate up there. So that the livestock could get into the barn, and I asked Brad if we could use that gate to put on the barn to keep the livestock out of the hay. So that's what we're going to do with that other gate.
Okay.
Well, there'll be some, there's always some gate or something that you just use, but the problem really was when we purchased that gate.
Those cows I saw you driving out yesterday?
Yeah.
And you drove them back down on the other side of the tower and fell off of the net. How did they get in there? Do you know? Well, I mean, I realize that, but do we not have a fence there where it could be?
We have the problem that we have is that
Yes. That's what I wanted most, first of all, to do.
Okay. So, does anybody have any other questions?
The only thing I got is, like I say, I'll get with Phil on the refrigerator and make sure we look at that. Fishing pond number one, make sure that thing is safe to walk on.
Are you going to be here when you go home?
Depends on things. I'll be here at least probably till Sunday, possibly Wednesday of next week.
Okay, today is our day off. We worked all week. Take the day of Sunday off and do that panel there. We've heard that was gone. And today was Thursday. We were going to leave, but something came up. We were going to start meeting in any way.
I got a question from Ryan. What about Dave Cody with cabin 4? Have you ever gotten back with you with a roof on that cabin?
No, I sent him an email again, and I asked him. That's been my declaration okay with him, and I didn't
check the plane to see if I didn't have a
reservation coming in August, so I'm assuming I
believe
I would make it one trip.
And then cabin number 3, we got Ryan's got Scott coming back out for that
bee problem.
As soon as that bee problem is handled, we got to put board back over that wall before the mice think it's a condo and it's supposed to be there.
Yeah, for sure. Can you put that right there for the fix in the cabin?
Cabin number 3.
What's that dog doing?
Oh, honestly. Bill.
Just good to see you.
How's the new gate working on cabin one that I put on? The iron gate for the screen door.
I do not know. I was there yesterday, but I guess it's looking great.
The racial said anything? Good, bad, indifferent? It's not locked and can't get through it or anything?
Oh, there is an issue on cabin
two.
That second door, the one that goes, you're cabin two and you go to the left side, you go in the door. If you go all the way through to the right other door, that door is locked. And the key does not turn.
Are you kidding? On the inside of my hand. We had a little front knob upstairs to be bent down.
Grant looked at it, and we showed him, and he on cabin two, that door was locked. So when we opened the cabins up, we were not able to, so we figured, well, we could have brought that up again a couple of meetings ago, but that door is not open.
It's going to take it. What's it going to take? A new lock.
And I know we've rekeyed, you had them all rekeyed from your guy in Vegas, so we were wondering if we just put a regular...
Is that his lock that's gone bad, or one of your...
The new lock went bad.
I don't think it went bad. I think somebody. My buddy gave us one extra one, but I'm not sure. Also on cabin two, did you put the battle locks on the cubby holes up there?
No. Well, we will do that. Yes, put that on our list.
But you got to remove the old insulation first. That is mounted.
There's no access. You need to put padlocks. Kids can stop crawling in there, and there's mice in there, and insulation. I don't want someone to get sick. I want to put padlocks. Just a little padlock so they can't get in there. Sorry, man.
Not
yet. You haven't got a good pack right yet, but
we will.
That's basically all I got.
The carbon monoxide detectors, we found new ones that we installed on them, and within a week they went bad, even in Jersey. So there's a little pin that you pull off and stick in there. So we're going to have Mariah buy some new ones. Joe said these things have warranties, and for us to research that back and find to get them replaced. And we gathered them all of what we can find. We've only found four or five. We threw all the rest away, and then we read on it. They said they were 10 years, no battery replacement, they're gone. But we didn't know that there was a warranty on them for 10 years. I don't know how long they've been.
We didn't buy enough to replace the ones that are gone, and then the ones you remove. They're still a 10-year, they're only 3 years old, so we can return those back to the Home Depot or Costco. We can return those, but we need to get some in there automatically, so definitely buy new ones for the ones we need, and then take the old ones out, and we'll send them into the warranty when they get back to us.